Do keep your Bibles open so that you can read along. But before I really talk on this passage, speak from God's word, it would be great to pray, because actually when we read God's word, we're not just reading man's words, are we? We're not just reading some old book, but we are reading the living words. So why don't I pray for us as we listen and sit in this living word. Father God, we thank you that you have spoken, that you have revealed yourself. Thank you for Jesus, that you have revealed yourself in and through him. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us this morning. We know, we just sang that we are prone to wander. We pray, Lord God, that you would use this passage in Luke to call us back to yourself and to rejoice in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, you're walking through the woods, and suddenly you come across a gleaming grand piano under a tree. It's a beautiful thing, but it is a bit odd, isn't it? What's it doing there? Who does it belong to? Lots of questions. It's this incredible grand piano, but it just sticks out. It doesn't seem to belong. I don't know if actually you were to read the whole of Luke 5, you might feel this way about our passage. It's really amazing. Jesus cleanses a leper. It's incredible. But it seems a bit out of place. A man covered in leprosy, a serious skin condition, comes before Jesus. He's miraculously healed. Incredible. A sick man made well. But it's this miraculous healing surrounded by something else. So this story, Luke has made a well-ordered account of Jesus' life, and he's placed this miraculous healing really in a section all about sin. Notice that sin doesn't come up in the verses we read, and yet the section surrounding it, all about sin. Last week, we looked at the story in Luke 5, 1-11. There, Peter, he sees this glimpse of Jesus as Lord, and he falls to his knees, having been made aware of his own sinfulness. Look what he says in verse 8. He said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And then the story after our story this morning, so next week's story, Luke 5:17-26, Jesus has brought this paralyzed man, and Jesus tells him that his sins are forgiven. Have a quick look at verse 24. Jesus, who describes himself as the Son of Man, has authority on earth to forgive sins. And even the next story, in Luke 5, Jesus, he's hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And look at what he says in verses 31 and 32. Have a look. Jesus reveals that he has come for the sick, for sinners. This section is all about sin. And Luke has placed this story about a very sick man being healed right in the middle of it. Could this passage be like a grand piano in the forest, a bit out of place? Or actually, is it possible that there's more to this story than meets the eye? Is it possible that Luke actually has placed this story here to do more than just show us that Jesus can do wonderful miracles? Is it possible that this story actually reveals something more of who Jesus is and his interaction with sinners? Well, let's have a look at our story more closely and find out. So look with me where it starts in verse 12, where this man makes a request of Jesus. Look what he says. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Clean. This man's request is to be made clean. Not to be healed, but to be made clean. He's not asking Jesus if he can use his shower or something like that. No, he's speaking actually in Old Testament categories. Old Testament categories of clean and unclean. Now, these were God-designed categories, actually, to show how different God is from everyone and everything else. You see, the God of the Bible is the very author of life, the source of all goodness and beauty and light. He's in a category of his own. He's holy. And the perfect light, life, and purity of God, well, does not mix with darkness, death, and impurity. So therefore, for a person to come before this God, to be in his presence, to be able to experience relationship with him, well, that person needs to be in a state of cleanness. These are the categories in the Old Testament. Now, if a person was associated at all with death, it made them unclean. And they were therefore distanced from the God of life until they underwent cleansing. Now, all sorts of things would actually associate you with death and render you unclean, according to the Old Testament. Some quite obvious, like being made unclean by touching a dead body. You can see that association. Some maybe less obvious, like the discharge of different bodily fluids. In fact, actually, you could even be made unclean just by touching something or someone else who was unclean. You see, the state of uncleanliness, it was contagious. You could catch it. Now, as important as being clean before God is, actually the reality was that at various points in a normal Jewish person's life, they were made unclean, unavoidable. And they'd have to go through some cleansing steps, as prescribed by the law of Moses, in order to be made clean again. Now, this often involved ritual washings and actually some sacrifices to God. And it was to be verified by the priests, who then at the end would pronounce you clean. You're clean again. You can now come in, you can be close to God. Now, in a sense, these ideas of uncleanness coming from death, or anything associated with death, actually is an Old Testament picture of the uncleanness that stems from our sin that will ultimately lead us to death. The washings and the sacrifices to be made to make a person clean, they were pictures that there needs to be some cleansing for our sins. To be made clean, to be brought to God, our sins needed cleansing. You see, these categories, clean, unclean, were to communicate something of God as the holy, perfect author of life, and really our need to be cleansed if we're to have relationship with him. But back to our story, if that's what he's talking in those categories, clean, unclean. But back to our story, there's a bit of a problem for our man who asks to be made clean. The problem is he's covered in leprosy. Now, if he had been unclean by, say, touching a dead body, he'd just be able to follow the prescribed washing and sacrifices of the law. Simple enough. But his uncleanness came from his leprosy. And actually, he could only therefore be made clean if his leprosy was healed. Now, what we know as leprosy today, Hansen's disease, actually is not what they understood leprosy to be in the first century. Rather, leprosy was more of a kind of catch-all term for a variety of skin conditions. And in some cases, it got better naturally, and then they could go to the priest and the priest would declare them clean again. However, actually, in most cases, these skin diseases, these skin conditions would fester and get worse. And actually, therefore, leprosy was known, really, as one of those kind of near incurable diseases. And from verse 12's description of the man, you can have a look. You can tell, can't you, that his leprosy is severe. He's covered in leprosy. It's not getting better. It's all over. Probably getting worse. Actually, I think it's therefore actually a really helpful picture of sin. You see, this man's physical sickness makes him unclean, while the spiritual sickness of sin makes us spiritually unclean. Now, one of the things that made leprosy so unclean, according to the law of Moses, was that the disease goes further, deeper than the skin. It's not just an outside problem. It's not just that on the outside you bore the marks of death as your skin was slowly decaying, but it was that actually underneath it was festering, corrupting your body to its very core. Do you not think that is a vivid description, a vivid picture of our sinfulness? The Bible says that it's not just external. It's not just what we say or what we do, but it's actually what we think, what we desire, what we feel. The Bible says sin is a sickness that corrupts us to our very core, to our very hearts. Now, a leper, they faced being separated from everyday life. They didn't live in the town. They were to be separated, sent outside of the camp, outside of the town. And actually, if they were even to approach anyone, they would shout, "Unclean, unclean!" So that people knew and would know to keep their distance. They were often alone, having been totally separated from whatever family and friends they had before their disease. And living on the outside of town actually meant not only separation from people, but ultimately distance from God, separated from Him, being away from the temple. And again, all of this mirrors the separating effects of our sinfulness. Our sin, it divides us, it separates us from one another, but actually most severely it separates and it divides us from God Himself, the very source of life. You see, I believe that Luke has placed this story about a man with leprosy as a picture for us, a picture of us, who are all spiritually sick. It's like his physical condition is to be an illustration of our own spiritual condition. And we're to see that, just like leprosy, our condition is severe and serious. In fact, it's actually terminal. It will result in death. The leper, he was fully aware of his own skin condition. He saw his decaying skin, his rotting flesh. But many of us go on living our lives totally unaware of the depths of our spiritual condition, the spiritual rot within. That's one of those uncomfortable truths to hear. But actually, the Bible doesn't at all shy away from speaking of the harsh reality of our spiritually sick, sinful hearts. Because we really need to understand how bad the situation is, don't we? So that we, like the leper, might approach Jesus and fall face to the ground and beg him for help. And if you were to do that, the question then becomes, well, how will Jesus respond to desperate sinners who come to him for help? Have you ever thought of what would happen if all of your sinful rejection of God in your life, what you've thought, done, if it was all compiled into a list and handed to Jesus? Be a long list, full of incredibly dark thoughts and deeds, I'm sure. How far down the list would he get before you start to doubt his willingness to save you? It's a terrifying thought, isn't it? All your sins written on a list, handed to Jesus. Don't go any further, Jesus. Please don't go any further. Well, the leper, you see, in his desperation, he falls before Jesus. And note that actually he does not at all doubt Jesus' ability to heal him. What he's not sure of is whether Jesus is willing. Would Jesus care for a man like me? So unclean. What is Jesus' heart towards the one who is physically sick like the man? What is his heart towards the spiritually sick like all of us? He is willing. When handed a long list of your sinfulness, he would not at any point question whether he wants to show you compassion. He is willing. He knows the full extent of your sinfulness, even better than you do. And he is willing, in the same way he's fully aware of this man's physical condition. It's obvious. Well, actually, it's obvious to him, and he is willing. When the Bible talks about sin, it's not actually to leave you feeling condemned, but it's to open your eyes to the reality of our situation, that we might recognize the severity of our sin, the deep pit that we're in, and to respond like this leper does. He knew just how bad his situation was, and he came to Jesus. And in coming to Jesus, asking, if you're willing, you can make me clean, he finds that actually Jesus is totally willing, absolutely willing to cleanse him, to heal him. See, when the Bible talks about sin, will we allow it to show us the reality of our situation, that we desperately need cleansing? Will we allow what the Bible says about our sinfulness to lead us to Jesus, our compassionate and gracious Lord and Saviour, who knows the very depths of our sin and is still willing to cleanse us? Hopefully we're seeing a glimpse into the compassion of Jesus. But actually, I still don't think we've plunged the depths of Christ's compassion, as if we ever could. Did you notice that Jesus did not just say, be clean? Look down at verse 13 with me. He doesn't just say, be clean. It says he reached out his hand and touched the man. A man, isolated, unclean, untouchable, possibly not having felt the touch of another person in quite some time, and Jesus lovingly reaches out his hand and touches him. You see, Jesus does not pull away, he doesn't recoil from this sick man. He comes in close, his arm outstretched towards a sinner, a sick man, full of compassion for him. You see, fully aware of the depths of our pit of sinfulness, the complete corruption of sin in every aspect of our lives, his attitude towards us is this. His arm is outstretched. In fact, actually, his reaching out towards the leper actually reflects something of what we celebrate each year at Christmas. I know this isn't Christmas time. But every year we celebrate that God did not pull away from sinners. That he didn't pull away from sinful, unclean humanity, but rather he reached out in the person of Jesus. In Jesus we see that God isn't indifferent about cleansing us, but he is brimming, even overflowing with compassion for us. So much so that he is willing to send his son Jesus to dwell amongst sinful humanity in order to cleanse us and bring us close. That is Jesus' attitude towards sinful humanity. That is his attitude towards sinners. That is his attitude towards us. Now, I think we're meant to see just how compassionate Jesus is in reaching out his hand and touching this man. But I think we're also to recognize that he's doing something that no Jew in their right mind would do. He's actually touching an unclean person. Now, leprosy itself, well, that's contagious, you don't want that. And actually, uncleanness is contagious, you don't want any of that. So actually, in touching this leper, he's risking making himself unclean and catching leprosy. He's doing something outrageous. And yet again, though, we see that Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Luke wants us to pick up on the fact that the uncleanness of this man actually doesn't at all contaminate Jesus. If anything, it's the other way around. It's almost like Jesus' cleanness contaminates this unclean man. Or to put it another way, Jesus is more clean than this man is unclean. He's more clean, pure, righteous than we are dirty, impure, and unrighteous. And what good news that is. I mean, when Jesus comes into contact with sinful humanity, he's not at all contaminated. He's not made a sinner. Rather, when sinful humanity comes into contact with the clean, pure righteousness of Jesus, sinful humanity is cleansed and walks away clean. And actually this, in some way, is actually a bit of a shadow of what we celebrate at Easter as well. Again, not Easter time, but it is, isn't it? It's a shadow of what Jesus does at the cross. You see, on the cross, Jesus comes into contact with all of our sin. All our sinful, dirty, unclean, impure thoughts and deeds, all that comes from our hearts and defiles us, all that separates us from this perfect and holy and good God, Jesus comes into contact with that on the cross. He takes it all on himself. But instead of being overcome by it, instead of being defeated by it, he rose again in victory, having cleansed us. See, Jesus is willing to cleanse us of our sins. If you come to him, no matter who you are or what you have done, no matter the very depths of your sin, Jesus is full of compassion towards you, willing to cleanse and purify you completely. But he's not just willing. I mean, willing is really good, but on its own is powerless. I might be willing to help you with a university assignment. Doesn't at all mean I'm actually able to. Jesus, on the other hand, he's not just willing. He is fully able to cleanse and purify you. It's incredibly good news. This man covered in leprosy, he's a picture of us, covered in sin, just like every part of him, inside and out, contaminated with his physical sickness. Every part of us contaminated with our spiritual sickness. And just like Jesus heals this man with a simple touch, he can heal us in the same way. Jesus truly is that powerful, that awesome, and we can come to him and find glorious healing from our deep and corrupting spiritual sickness. I think that's incredible, isn't it? But before I finish, actually, I really want to make a slightly different comment about the way the story finishes. It's an odd finish, isn't it? Jesus, he's cleansed this man, and then he tells him to go out and to tell no one. Shh, don't tell anyone. But rather to show himself to the priests, the religious authorities of the day, and to offer all the sacrifices that the Old Testament law required for the priests to declare a leper clean. Note that Jesus actually wants this man to uphold the law. Jesus, he has a high view of God's law. He's not trying to undermine its importance or the importance of the priests following the instructions they were given by Moses. He wants this leper to go and do exactly what the law requires, that he might officially be declared clean and allowed fully back into Jewish society. But actually, I think he seems to have a greater purpose in mind. Look again at verse 14. He says, go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. You see, Jesus has a high view of the law of Moses, but he actually also recognizes its limitations. See, according to the law, the priest could verify when a leper's skin condition had gotten better. They could then follow all of the prescribed necessary instructions, and then they could declare them clean. But they couldn't actually deal with the cause of that uncleanness. They couldn't deal with the leprosy. If their skin didn't just naturally get better, which in most cases it didn't, well then they and the law could do nothing to make them clean. You see, the law was not about cleansing sinners, but about showing the need for cleansing. In a sense, the law is kind of like a highlighter. It highlights the problem so that we can see it. Our problem that makes us unclean and therefore unable to come before God is our sinfulness. But as a highlighter, it also highlights something else. It highlights our need for something to be done about our problem. You see, our sinfulness needs to be cleansed. We need to be healed from our spiritual sickness, for just like leprosy, it will end in death, if not dealt with. You see, the law does not actually perform this cleansing. It's powerless to make sinners clean. All the sacrifices and ritual washings were there actually to point forward to the one who was coming, who would actually fulfill the law and do what the law could not, actually cleanse sinners. See, Jesus is the one who has come to fulfill the law. He is the one to truly cleanse us from our sins. And he sent this cleansed leper to the religious authorities as a testimony to them, as proof of his cleaning power. You see, he is the one that the law was always pointing forward to. After Jesus rose again, he actually met with two of his disciples. So he died, he rose again, and they're all panicking. Jesus died. What do we make of this? And he appears to them, and they don't recognize him, and they're on their way to this place called Emmaus. They don't recognize him. They think he's just a fellow traveler. They're still processing what's just gone on. Jesus has died. They don't really know what to make of it. And Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And then it says, "And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he," that's Jesus, "explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." You see, Jesus did not come as some random miracle-working man. That is not Luke's point. He came, rather, doing exactly what the Old Testament was prophesying about him. The law and the prophets all pointing forward to the one to come who would truly cleanse with the deep sickness that all humanity has. And here in this story, where Jesus cleanses a man covered in leprosy, we see that he is the fulfillment of it all. That he is the one that whole Old Testament was speaking of. He's the one who can deal with sin. And actually, he's not only able to deal with sin, he is filled with compassion, willing to cleanse those who come to him. You see, what the law could not do, wash us, purify us, cleanse us, Jesus came to do. Let me pray as we finish. Father God, we thank you for what we see in this passage of Jesus' heart towards us. Help us, Lord God, to believe that that is his heart towards us. That actually he is full of love and compassion, even overflowing with love and compassion for sinners like us. Help us to believe that he truly cares for us. Help us to look to the cross where we see it so clearly. Lord God, we thank you that he is not just willing to deal with our sin, but he is fully able to. That he's fully able to deal with depths of our sin, to plunge into the depths, and just like this leper was made clean, we are made clean by him. Lord God, we pray that you would grow in all of us a deeper and greater appreciation for our Lord and Saviour. We pray, Lord God, that you would, just drive these truths that we've thought about this morning deep into our hearts, that this week we might meditate on them, rejoice in them, and continue to live for Christ. We pray all of this in the name of your glorious Son. Amen.